Gather around your speakers, hoop heads. It's NBA story time. Jamel Johnson here to spin you tales of NBA shenanigans you didn't know you needed to know. Like that time when a little startup league tried anything to be relevant, or when Ricky Davis earned himself a dumb nickname. I also love you, Ricky Davis. Catch a new tale on NBA Storytime every week, then listen to the postgame where I break it down with comedians, ballers, and what have you. Find NBA Storytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Guys, you're going to ask me the question, and I don't know the answer. All right, why is Drake my friend? Why is he the way that he is? I don't know, but what I do know is that it creates really incredible conversation and great content. The guy's a content machine, and this episode is all over the place. I hope you enjoy. Let's have a day.
Welcome back, Wash the Walk-Ons fans, to episode I Don't Know of the podcast. I would like to take a moment to apologize to you guys for the lack of terrible humor and my presence on this podcast, because I've been a little busy lately. Mom's been in town, been doing some different things, wasn't in town this morning when Cliver and Kevin recorded. So my apologies to you guys for not gracing your ears with disgusting humor. But today we're back and it's just me and Kluver, and hopefully I say some ridiculous things to make y'all laugh, because I really don't know what we're going to talk about. Kluver, what you got?
Speaking of humor, I went to Rogan on Friday night. Good.
You laughed a lot, didn't you?
It was good.
Who was his opener?
I don't remember her name, but it was a girl, and then it was Hinchcliffe.
Allie Makovsky?
Sounds right. Yeah. Real high voice.
Yeah.
She was good, and then Tony Hinchcliffe murdered, dude.
We got Andrew Santino on ours, but I have
you got seen Santino?
Him. Yeah.
Dude, he said the person who's on stage announces the next person, and so the girl announced Tony Hinchcliffe, and I looked at my brother. I went with my two brothers, and I was like, oh, fuck, dude, I'm so hype.
And how much disgusting stuff did he say?
Oh, every single joke, dude.
Tony Hinchcliffe is one of the dirtiest bastards.
Dirty. I also saw Brady Ross there. Yeah, we were standing in line to get like some waters before we went down to our seats, and my brother goes, dude, is that Brady Ross right there? I turn around. Sure enough, his bald fucking ass standing there with his fiance.
Wow.
Yeah. Which was weird. That's real weird.
That's weird.
So, good show. Hinchcliffe had some banger jokes, man. So good. Like, it's so good that it makes me want to like write jokes and try and be more funny. It really does. He had an incredible Caitlyn Jenner bit / kind of transgender bit for like a solid 10 minutes. It was fucking amazing.
I love that.
Good stuff. He was also dressed in a cowboy hat, and he had this one punchline about him looking like gay Woody from Toy Story.
Wow.
And then the secondary punchline was, there's a snake in my butt. It was so good. Oh, he's good, dude. He's good. I actually liked him more than Rogan. I just like Rogan because it's fucking Rogan. And he like
podcast. You really didn't like Rogan's set?
It was from like the art of stand-up. It was a little more choppy than what Hinchcliffe had, right? And Rogan, you know, Rogan did probably 75 minutes, right? So it's a little bit more, it's longer. I know he obviously, when they do stadiums like that, he's already tried out most of his stuff. Like that's pretty solid. But I do think at the end he was trying a couple new things out, and they were funny. But Hinchcliffe or kind of Jeselnik is more my type of comedy. like the slower, real dirty shit instead
of Kezlenik is another legend.
He's insane. So that was good. That was good. Good humor. I don't think we were that unfunny without you on the podcast. I just don't think we were as absurd. We just don't take it to, we meet the minimum requirements for funny. Like there's a satisfactory and unsatisfactory grade, like in the PE courses at Iowa. I think we met the satisfactory accomplishment, but we just didn't get like the A+, probably. That's all right.
Sometimes you got it, sometimes you don't. I mean, if you guys were funny, you guys were funny.
We did. I did make a comment about the last time you had, I said, Drake's not here again, and it's because he has responsibilities. And Kevin said, don't lie to the people and tell them that Drake has responsibilities. And then I was like, when is the last time that Drake's had an actual responsibility?
Yeah, man, few and far between. Every once in a while, I got a little responsibility with a god kid or a family member, but it doesn't happen that often.
Kevin's answer was bowl prep 2017.
Pretty close. And really, I didn't have to try that hard that bowl prep either.
There wasn't a lot of responsibility. It was good though. It was good. Kevin was dressed in all America stuff. Big USA guy. We won the Olympics. Not sure how much you watched. Did you watch any of that swimming?
Maybe? Yeah, dude, I'm a big Olympics guy. I've been following the Olympics a lot.
Okay. There's a few things I wanted to talk about there. One, Caleb Dressel is elite. And
I haven't liked a swimmer as much as Caleb Dressel since Michael Phelps.
Well, he's kind of the next Michael. He's pretty damn good. And USA came out on top, all of the medals, all of them. And yesterday,
to be honest, though, USA track choked hard.
A little bit, yes. But that 4x4 team, the women's 4x4, fast, dude.
Well, dude, we should have had by far the winning 4x1, and they didn't put Noah Lyles or Kenny Bednarik on it. And both of those guys were medalists in the open 200, and they decided they weren't good enough to be on the 4x1 team, or did they take the competition so lightly in the semis that they thought that they could use like their second stringers, kind of like swimming and track has done in the past. Mm-hmm. But like they said in the warm-up to that, like in the preparation for the race on TV, they were talking about how all the teams had been back there. All the relay teams had been practicing. That's all they'd been doing was practicing. And then the second exchange was worse than any exchange Muscatine High School track had in the 4 years that I was running the 4x1. It was the coach Mueller should have been coaching the United States 4x1 team on how to do a fucking handoff, because they'd have made the finals. Shout out Coach Mueller. Love you, dude.
There was a middle school race that I raced in 4x1. And this was, for those that are true fans of the podcast and have heard my origin story, makes me sound like an X-Men. And I'm far from Wolverine. But in eighth, ninth grade, I looked like Wolverine compared to the other athletes. Because I had met my max growth. And we had fast guys. Three of our receivers. And then me on the 4x1 team. And we were at like, I don't know, the biggest middle school meet of the year. And for some reason, I'm running in the 4x1.
Have I seen this video?
No, I don't think so. I don't even think there's video out there. But I had the second leg. And our first guy came out hot, had the early lead.
Your coach must not have realized that the second leg is actually the longest leg on the 4x1.
At this level, it's probably not that important. If we hand it off and everything goes fine, we win the race, because we had our receiver was elite speed, both of them. And I happened to run the best leg all year. And then the third leg, the guy who was our fastest guy ran away from me, and I couldn't get the baton in his hands. And
That's on him. The way that we were taught in Muscatine, that's on him, because you have to know the capabilities of the man running you the baton, and you have to know your own capabilities. And like, I was not a good starter, so I gave myself a few extra steps, and that worked out for me. So that guy really did you a disservice there.
And it was my only time I ran in that 4x1 all year. And I felt like I let the team down bad. I was down bad. We would have fucking ran away with that. But anyway, the, our 4x4 team with, Sydney McLaughlin, Dalila, Athingmu, and fucking what's the other girl's name? Forget.
I've been Allison Felix. McLaughlin fan ever since I found out that Amir was dating her when he came into Iowa. That was Amir Smith-Marset's girlfriend when he came to Iowa. Sydney McLaughlin came to Iowa City during Amir's freshman year. Sydney McLaughlin was in Iowa City from Kentucky, hanging out in Peterson dorm hall with Amir.
That's real.
Gave you true information. That is full facts. They're both from New Jersey.
Holy shit.
And they were both very elite at track.
Could you imagine how fast their fucking kids would have been?
They would have been the most unstoppable athlete of all time.
Speaking of Amir, he seems to be killing it. At least he's been on a lot of the Vikings social media, which you probably don't see. There's been multiple videos of him breaking guys down, and I don't know, you know, I don't follow NFL. The only NFL I follow is when it pertains to a Hawkeye, but does he make the team? Does Amir Smith-Marset make the Vikings roster? I don't know.
Were you concerned that he wasn't going to make it?
Dude, a lot of guys who get drafted don't make teams.
I understand that, but Amir is going to make – I never had a doubt that Amir would make it because of what he can do. He's special in the return game, and coaches are looking for special returners. Like, Darren Sproles was a second-string running back for his whole career. He was a shifty guy out of the backfield and an elite return man, and he might make it to the damn Hall of Fame.
That's a good name, Darren Sproles. He was a fucking little electric bug.
And Amir is electric as hell. The kid knows how to make plays.
He does. He's got the NFL like swag to him. Like he's just got that kind of vibe. And yeah, man, I hope he gains a little bit of like another 5 or 10 pounds, because guys that are that small worry me. I don't want to see him get crunched. But
I've heard that those NFL meals are something special.
Well, I mean, on an NFL salary, you can eat a lot of Wagyu.
And the meals prepared for you at the facility.
Yeah.
Like, we had it great at Iowa, and we were able to put on some good ass weight. But like, if you didn't like what you were eating that day, that it was too bad. Right. Whereas in the NFL, those guys just go up and order whatever they want, and the chef makes it for them.
True.
And then they go home, and their significant others have been able to sit in the mansion all day because they've got them set up nicely. So they may or may not have a nice meal prepared for them when they get home. You know, it's pretty easy to gain some weight when you get to the NFL and you have all those resources.
When you came in, you were 205?
203.
203. And how quickly did you get to how much did you put on in the first year?
I have no idea, but probably like 20 at least.
20? Yeah, so 220 something sounds right. And then you ended at not pro day, but you ended playing weight at what, 240 something?
I would say 240 on the dot.
Well, do you think that was how maximized was that 240?
Well, as we found out during bowl prep, it wasn't all the way maximized.
I think back to do you remember when Kevin and I did like Year of the Hard Bod?
Yeah.
And I think back to how I always think about Brandon Snyder, because he was always a thick guy, but he was still pretty lean. Yeah. And I think back to how not lean I was, like how much of an actual good machine I was not. I had a lot of fat on me, literally and figuratively. Like It was, and I just think back to like, oh, I thought I was really, I thought I was in a really good, like well-shaped guy, but like compared to now, it's nothing. It's crazy. And I always think, man, and you put that weight on and it was the first 2 years we didn't even have Gray's or any of that shit yet. It was just Hillcrest meals. It was like pizza and burger bar.
Dude, it was a lot of free supplements, a lot of Gatorade cans.
Synthesix.
And dude,
applesauce.
I used to eat weights, dude. That was what I got known for at Iowa. I wasn't a football player. I was a weight eater. And then I got good enough at fullback. I got good enough at smashing other humans to make a difference. But like, you know, it was what it was. I was a guy that just lived in the weight room and drank a lot of protein shakes.
When they switched you to fullback, was there ever a time when you were like, fuck this, I'm not playing fullback? Or you were just like, nah, I got to find a way on the field. This is going to be it.
Yeah, that was it. I didn't get along with Coach Reed. It was what it was. Like him and I, yeah. He didn't believe in me at all. And I was a very pissed off young kid and it was what it was. So as soon as I got the opportunity for something fresh, for like an actual opportunity, rather than just standing on the sideline, watching everybody else do everything, I took it.
Yeah. Caitlin Clark dropped 25 on Australia today.
Really?
Yeah. She had 5 threes in the first half.
I didn't realize she was playing for the USA team. That's insane.
Not the USA. Well, yes, USA team, but it's the like the U19 team.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's not.
I think the US women won gold, but then there's also like the junior national team, and she's on that. She was on that in 2017, or she was on the U17 team 2 years ago. They took gold, and then I think they're on their way to probably win gold again. They beat Australia by 50 points.
Holy smokes.
And Kayla Clark had 25. I mean, she's so goddamn good. It's so crazy how good Megan Gustafson was for the Hawks and arguably best Iowa women's basketball player of all time. And now I don't think there's an argument that Caitlin Clark is probably going to be the best women's basketball player of all time. And it was 2 years ago. Like we've had these two players in a span of 4 years. Are you kidding me?
Yeah. It feels like we're getting spoiled, dude. We had Luca and Joe. We had Megan and Caitlin.
It's absurd.
Dude, Iowa basketball used to be a real doormat. Like they used to not be fun to watch at all.
When we came into college, it was like Pete Jock made a three every once in a while. You know, it was Mike Cassell was cool. Utah
was fun to watch.
Utah played for a couple of years.
We had to deal with Woodbury, and like I actually threw a chair through a door because of Adam Woodbury.
Adam Woodbury, dude. Have I ever told you the story about me guarding Adam Woodbury?
Yeah.
What a fucking. So he's what my and this is vintage Todd Kluber. Adam Woodbury is what my dad would call one of two things. A creek beaver, or B, a puss cake. So wow. The background.
I agree 100% with Todd, by the way.
The background of those stories was, oh, this is so mean. This is mean and this would be, this is cancel material today. But it doesn't matter.
I can't wait for it.
Probably not. But some people would be a little, they'd be rubbed the wrong way. So at Marshalltown High School, the practice field, or I guess the entire athletic complex, sat on this piece of land that then had a creek that ran just on the edge of it. Right. And so the practice field, it ran all the way up to the creek and then across the creek, kind of ran up to the parking lot of the school. It was a big hill on the high school side of the creek. And we would run conditioning reps where we started at the far end of the field. You'd run down. It was called a creek run. And it was like one of four conditioning things that we did in preseason. You'd run all the way down to the creek. You'd jump it. And then you'd run up the hill, touch the fence, come back down, jump the creek again, go across. The field goal post was also on the end of the creek, maybe 10
Dude,
or 15.
You've now said creek three different ways.
Creek.
You said creek, crick, and creek. Get it fucking right, kid.
What is it?
It's creek. C-R-E-E-K spells creek, you fucking hick.
Okay, creek. So when we would do field goal period, we would have like the kids who didn't play. And these are who my dad would call creek beavers. We would have the kids who didn't play stand in front of the creek and block the footballs from going in the water.
Yep.
Everybody
has a place on the team, man.
Or if you were one of those kids who wasn't great at, you know, some of the linemen specifically who, you know, the creek was not, it was not thin. You had to give a decent little effort to jump over it. If you fell in the creek, you were then also called a creek beaver. So everybody was a creek beaver at one point or another. Puss cake, it just kind of speaks for itself. You know, you're soft.
I've got a funny ass story, dude. Okay. Two funny stories. Well, no, I'll just go with one. So, you know, the old Revolution helmets, the original Revolution helmets?
Mm-hmm.
Just so happened that they had a really bad placed soft spot right around the temple.
Yeah, horrible, dude.
Horrible. And one of my teammates did something to me in high school that pissed me off. I turned around and I flushed him with a right hand right on that soft spot of his helmet. The kid dropped and he just crumpled.
Oh, God, those helmets were trash. Did you knock this kid out, or he was just like, so he just wasn't ready for it?
I think I dinged him, you know?
Okay. It was like a head stinger.
There's times where UFC guys get hit on the side of the head and they drop, but then they pop themselves right back up.
He like wobbled. He wobbled.
He was wobbled. Yeah. And he wobbled to the floor. But
did you see back to the Olympics now? Did you see the water polo highlight? You probably didn't. This is the one thing that I wish you had. I need to send it to you. I don't know who it was between, but there's a water polo match going on, which, by the way, I think potentially is maybe one of the hardest sports on earth. And
dude, those people have to be so fit. Like, so swimming is such a hard sport. And then you add those little obstacles and people hanging on you and you're treading water at all times.
And you've got a ball and you're trying to, like, oh my God, dude.
Yeah, it's a tough sport.
Anyway, they have water cameras underwater, and it caught one of these dudes basically trying to fist this other guy's ass.
You're lying.
To like fuck with him, he was like underneath the water pulling his trunks, like his suit down, and like it looked like his hand was just full on up his ass. Like there was cheeks and everything. I was like, what is going on?
Dude, technology's too good these days for that to be happening.
Yeah, you can't get away with that.
You can't be getting caught doing that.
No, you can't. Well, last thing about the Olympics, and this is really the main thing that I wanted to touch on today, other than creek beavers and water polo butt fingering. Simone Biles, and we just had the mental health episode. Simone Biles pulled out of... At this point, I saw so many different tweets of she pulled out of this, she pulled out of that, the all around, the individual. Then she was back in. She did the beam routine and ended up taking a bronze. She pulled out for mental health, and it went fucking berserk everywhere. And some people didn't want to, like, some people were like, are you going to talk about Simone Biles and the mental health? And like, since you guys just released that episode, some of the fans were like, oh shit, I'm scared what Drake's going to say on this one. Like, is he going to?
And no, I don't really have that strong of an opinion. And especially because I don't know anything about the quote twisties. Like, when I was watching the broadcast and the, and now, you know, the broadcasters, I guess the women's former women's gymnasts that were on Nastia. The mic. Yeah, they were talking about how the twisties are just like, you don't even speak of it. Like, it's like Voldemort, you know?
Right.
And I don't know anything about gymnastics. And like, If you're in actual danger to yourself and your career and the rest of your life, mm-hmm. if you go and compete when this is happening, and then she didn't feel like explaining the whole background of what twisties are, and she just labeled it mental health. Like, okay, like if, I don't know, like they wouldn't let me play, even though my leg was technically fixed, they wouldn't let me play the bowl game because I would just fuck my whole body up. Right.
Yeah.
So if she has to spin through the air and her brain and her body aren't on the right same page, and like she could land on her neck and paralyze herself, like obviously terrible timing to get that.
Yeah.
But if it's just like, I don't think I have it, then I hate it.
Right.
But it just depends on what the actual truth is. And I don't know anything
about right. gymnastics. It's hard to give a solid answer because who knows? Like we just can't get in the mind of her to figure out if it was actually the way I understood it was that also she had a family death, close family death, like maybe while she was in Tokyo or right before it. And that was like a bit of a trigger to her feeling anxiety. And then that feeling of anxiety and mental health kind of flare up was what then maybe triggered the twisties. There was also another, there's other reports, like maybe she wasn't fully healthy.
General managers ask questions to find the right players. Like, do they have ice in their veins? When you're hiring, you can use Indeed assessments to make sure you find the right candidates with the skills you need. Don't just hope your perfect candidate will find you. Indeed's hiring tools help you cut through the noise to hire faster and smarter. In fact, Indeed Instant Match provides a list of quality candidates whose resumes are on Indeed the moment you post a sponsored job. And with Indeed assessments, choose from 135 skills tests to help make sure you're finding applications from people with skills you need. Get started right now with a $75 sponsored job credit to upgrade your job post at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Get a $75 credit at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Offer valid through September 30th. Terms and conditions apply.
Which, this is how I stand on it. Same kind of thing as you. If you're gonna fucking hurt yourself, and a lot of the shit that she does and all of those gymnastics people do.
Dude, she's like the best of all time for a reason. Her amplitude and the tricks she does are insane.
Yeah, so, the amount of power that she generates from that little ass frame is absurd. I mean, you're doing triple flips, twists. If you are off somewhere in the middle of that and you land, it affects it in a way that you end up a 180 and your head hits the ground first instead of your feet, there's going to be some issues there.
Some big issues.
Obviously health-wise, but then also like Team USA ain't getting a good score. So and there's no reason not to believe her about that, right?
Yeah, you would think so because she's the greatest of all time. Like it's not like she hasn't flourished under the pressure for her entire life, which right. is why I tend to like at first I was like, because I didn't hear about the potential, you know, just mental mix up. Right. And I was like, what is happening? The greatest of all time pulled out of the Olympics because she doesn't feel good. Like, you shitting me?
Right.
Because they just said mental health, you know?
Yeah.
But then you hear about a little more into it and you're like, oh, okay. Well, I know nothing about this sport. That is something I'd never even thought of.
And this is where I find it interesting because even though she's more than in the right and there's no judgment in her or anyone else pulling out because of legit mental health reasons, because it is in the end, you and your health are more important than the team or a gold medal or this, that, the other. Because you aren't able to compete, it doesn't matter the reason. Because you aren't able to compete, it still affects the legacy, in my opinion, right? Michael Jordan probably had some days where he was like, God damn, there's a lot of pressure on me. Like, I'm feeling a little bit of anxiety about game six here, you know? And it's not apples to apples. And I don't know if you're going to find a good analogy for it, but for whatever reason, if Michael Jordan or LeBron or Kobe in their prime in a championship series decide not to play, if Tom Brady last year decides for the Super Bowl that his mental health is an issue and he pulls out, good for him personally, but for the legacy and for being called the GOAT, it affects the record. It affects that.
Sure.
And so at some point, and she's probably still done enough already to be called the GOAT, but at some point, if you get to the big match every year and you got to pull out because of mental health reasons, like, well, then you're not the GOAT, because the GOAT also finds ways to make sure that they've done all of the preparation work that they can, so that when a trigger happens, you can deal with your mental health and still be able to go perform or still. And I'm not saying that what she did was wrong, because if you're going to mess your body up or screw the team, it is what it is. But the team still got to go out there and play, you know? So it's an interesting topic. And it was just like, it was, you can imagine, it was a shitstorm. Twitter was all over the place calling her pussy and she's soft. And other people are like on the far end of it, like sports don't matter at all. And you should be able to pull out for whatever reason you want. It's just like, God, the breadth and depth of the internet is just, it's wild.
And yet we think that one person can rule the run the country, because he's going to have the interest of all 350 million people.
All 350 million are all vaccinated. Did you hear that?
I know.
There's only like 320 in the.
There was a reason that I used that exact
number. No, I know. Oh, that's other shit we could get into.
Let's talk about censorship.
Okay.
And how we're being censored from putting out, just American people are openly being censored on these apps from being able to speak the truth, because they're trying to, you know.
It's pretty wild. I think where I have a problem with it is, oh man, we're going to get deep here, aren't we? I am vaccinated.
I am not.
So take
that. And I will not.
So take that into account as I talk here. And let me also preface this with, I don't give a shit about any of it, right? Most of the people, it would seem. And that could be a farce too, because of vocal minority on social media. Most of the people, it would seem, are recommending or on the side of being vaccinated. Again, not saying that it's right or that it's wrong. Now you're sitting there at home with your own opinion saying, well, Clove. I know some of you are sitting there going, Clove, come on, man. It's the right decision. If you aren't vaccinated, you don't care about anybody else. And some of you are out there saying, Clove, are you fucking serious? You would get vaccinated, dude? You're fucking crazy. And so just drop whatever your shit is and just listen to me real quick. Most people seem to be on the side of, you need to get vaccinated. It's what's going to help stop the pandemic. This, that, the other. It is... This would be the same if it was the other way flipped around. If the majority of people were saying, no, you should not get vaccinated, right? Doesn't matter what side you're on. Both sides should be able to say what they want to say and not be shadow banned or censored, like Drake said. And it does seem to me that people on the side of taking it a little slower, maybe kind of trying to do your own research on vaccinations, making their own decisions to not be vaccinated for their reason, or even if they're fucking complete psychopath conspiracy theorists who think that the vaccination is a literal microchip. Wherever you fall on the side of, I'm 51% not going to get vaccinated, all the way to 200%, I'd rather take a bullet in the skull before I get vaccinated. People on that side of things seem to be being censored a little bit. And I don't think that's fair.
And I found one just today. Somebody that I follow posted something on their Instagram that was blocked out and said, we have basically people who look into this and have determined that this is false information. So
I saw that on your
basically intake at your own risk. Mm-hmm. And I clicked on it, and it was a group of doctors who were basically speaking against all of the bullshit that everybody's being fed. And Instagram thinks that they have a group of fact checkers who are more well-educated than people with PhDs in microbiology
Yeah, it's interesting, because now
and Instagram, now you're not supposed to listen to the doctors when everybody's been telling me, shut the fuck up and listen to the professionals. Right. Well, here I am listening to people with
now PhDs, they're the hypocrites.
Badges, their names embroidered on their lab coats, standing, talking about how everybody's being fed horse shit. And now all of a sudden they're wrong. I just don't get it. I think that there is a pretty clear agenda. And because there is an agenda, and because I fucking hate politicians, I hate the government. And I'm ready to go to war with all of them. They can fucking take their virus and their vaccine and shove it all the way up their ass, because they're not getting me with the gooey juice.
There it is. I knew at some point, there's actually been multiple. Creek Beaver, Gooey Juice. We got a couple good names for this episode. Oh, man. We got deep. We just went deep. So, yeah, I don't care what side you're on of anything. It doesn't even have to be about the vaccine. It could be about Black Lives Matter or organic food or fucking.
I also want to put this out there. I think all politicians are lying. I don't believe the right or the left. I think everybody has an agenda. And I believe that politics has gotten to the point where it's trending towards global takeover of, you know, the decision makers. Like, we're clearly working with China because the National Institute of Health funded gain of functional research at the Wuhan lab for coronavirus. And I mean, we're in bed with other countries that we're said to be enemies with. And it's just so the global elites are so fucking twisted, and they're determining what gets, I don't know, what gets done.
I would say,
dude, it was an attack on the American economy. Coronavirus was an attack on the American economy that we funded.
Okay. Now we are getting okay. I wish Kevin was on here so bad. Oh man. Now there's some people at home thinking, holy shit, what did I sign up for? They might have turned the podcast off, but that's all right. Wow. That's a statement.
I get my information from Joe Rogan, who gets his information from actual scientists, and he vets his sources very, very carefully. And I listen very, very carefully.
I know. I don't sit here and laugh uncomfortably because I think you're wrong. It's because there's always the potential that you're very right. And I think when it comes to politics, if anyone has the opinion that it is a pretty well-run ship that has all the, you know, it's all well-oiled and that it's not just for mostly money and power, that'd be a tough sell on me, because it's it's pretty clear that whoever's president, it doesn't, like you said, regardless of whatever side, it doesn't matter. Like, they just want more money.
They lie. They just lie and try and get more money and power.
It's interesting. It's an interesting system. And to take it as far as it, that this was an attack on the American economy funded by America or the elites, I guess we could go there. But yeah, man, censorship is interesting. And
I can't wait for the blowback on this episode. You got to send it to me.
I don't even know if there will be. Like, I don't anymore, dude. Like, it's kind of what they expect. It's what people want to hear. I think it's what people that don't agree with you even want to hear. They're just like, I just want to listen to some fucking crazy asshole that was a Hawkeye just talk. Like, I love Drake. Maybe I don't. I've had people say this. I love Drake. I don't agree with him all the time, but it's, I love his, how real he is and how crazy it is. To listen to him talk sometimes, and it's fucking
rock on, brother.
And
rock
it's
on.
And it's entertaining. And I don't know why I'm doing that voice in like a guy who's sitting on the back porch drinking a Busch Light that got a 14 on his ACT accent, but that's
listen. A lot of people who like me probably did get 14 to 17 on their ACT, and I think you get 13 for signing your name.
I thought what you were gonna say was a lot of people that like me, they've done a lot of meth.
They don't have many teeth. And
oh man. Oh, is there anything else?
No.
I've been saving this one, and I Kevin's not gonna be on here, and then we're gonna move on. I've got a couple guests. We've got a couple guests. Those right. that are fans of the podcast, Searles is gonna be back soon. And Searles is a big hit. And we all know that.
All right, what do you got for me? Drop it on me.
It's nothing like we just talked about, but I don't even know if you've seen this. Did you hear about all the conference realignment shit? Texas, Oklahoma? Man.
Hilarious that Texas thinks that they can get out of the conference that plays no defense. They can't win championships in a conference that plays no defense. And they think that they can go to the conference who has some of the most elite defensive talent in the country every single year.
Texas, dead ass in the SEC, Texas could not win a game. Not saying that they would not win a game. I'm saying it's possible that they could go and get blanked in a season.
Definitely could say that, yes.
Vanderbilt and Kentucky have the kind of talent to go out and beat Texas on any day.
Yeah.
And Missouri.
I mean, the defense that Texas has fielded over the past, you know, handful of years is absolutely abysmal.
And to think that they're going to compete with at least immediately with Bama or LSU or Auburn or Florida. I mean, they're going to
get how hard them boys hit every week.
They're going to get fucking bent.
You would assume so. Yes.
Oklahoma, on the other hand, they have the talent and the pedigree over the last decade that they clearly can compete. And,
but you know, they can't beat the top guys. They get blown the shit out. And
yeah,
they get their booties blown out every single time they go to the playoffs.
Yeah, I
mean, they had a really close game when they had Baker Mayfield and they played Georgia, right?
Yeah, and this is actually you know what's interesting about here's the contrast, right? College football, American politics, it all comes back again to money. Like, Texas and Oklahoma see themselves as massive brands, and they are, and they want more money. And they know that in the Big 12, they are – absolutely putting the conference on their back when it comes to how much they bring in as part of the conference.
From a money standpoint, this dissolves the Big 12 because
there's nothing left.
Lost your lead horses. Like, if there's only two real thoroughbreds in the entire Big 12.
And then they're just, because now the Big 12 is a race at Prairie Meadows that has a bunch of donkeys in it. And you know what's real sad about that is Iowa State is the fastest left. They're the fastest donkey left. So
that's not good when you're trying to build your conference.
No.
Around a team that hasn't even won an in-state rivalry in like who knows how long.
They haven't ever won a conference championship. The best team left in the conference would be one that's never won a championship.
So a lot of times they're third best in their state and they're supposed to lead the conference.
Correct. Which is why realignment was the whole talk. It wouldn't just be those two big dudes moving away from the Big 12. Everyone sees the writing on that wall, and it's done. They've basically said, hey, we're not renewing our media rights or whatever it's called for 2025, I believe it is. So they're basically locked in through 2025, but they announced this now. You're not going to – and there's probably going to be somebody that messaged me about this, but if you get divorced, you don't live together for another 4 years before you split up and leave the house, right? You probably move out before then. Now, is there some couple that's living together right now, divorced, and it's been done for like 5 years, and for some reason they're still sleeping in the same
room? That would be the kind of trash that I'd be proud to have on this podcast.
Right. Those are the same people who, yeah, like you. Yeah, there probably is. But generally, you get what I'm saying, right? Like they are, and I saw a bunch of smarter people that are in college football than me basically saying this means there's that legal action is about to happen and they are going to go to the courts and get out of this early. And they're going to be in the SEC, which means so then all hell breaks loose and they start talking about, well, does Iowa State come to the Big Ten? How many teams do we add to the Big Ten? What if we're going to start realigning?
We're already the Big 14, ain't we?
Right, exactly. If we start realigning the Big Ten, well, shit, maybe we should go and merge with the Pac-12. Should we get Washington and Oregon? And
boys, that ain't close.
Hey, how about Kansas? Can we add Kansas to the – who are we dropping? Are we going to get Nebraska out of here? Does Nebraska to go back to the Big 12? How about Notre –
Nebraska needs to go to D1AA. They need to play – dude, they need to play
for – they got
to
start scheduling – UNI
and South Dakota State for a while until they get their confidence back up.
They got to schedule the D3 colleges around the state before they come to Kinnick. Come on now.
Get the fuck out of my house, you bums.
Go play Central and Co. before you walk into Kinnick and think you're going to get a dub, brother. Come on now. Notre Dame, what do we do with them? They're independent. Are they going to fucking join a conference? Are they going to cowboy up, put a ring on their finger and commit? Who knows?
Dude, they make a lot of money. I don't think they're doing anything. I think their pockets are set.
And so it just opened up a conversation that's not going to go away because it is happening. None of the other stuff is happening yet, but those two teams, they're gone. They're gone. And so I personally, and it feels weird because change is weird. People don't like change. People don't like change. But I actually think logically, Iowa State being in the Big Ten, that would be a good add. That's a good add to the Big Ten. They're more of a Big Ten school. They're more of a Big Ten school than Nebraska is.
I was about to say that they beat Nebraska and they beat a lot of the East Coast teams.
I was just going
to
say, I would in a heartbeat drop Rutgers, Maryland, and Nebraska.
What about Illinois?
No thought. Illinois is such a classic Big Ten team, and they have Bielema now. I'd actually like to give them a chance.
Okay.
But, you know, based on kind of how dog shit they've been since we – went to, you know, came into
based
Iowa.
On how dog shit their stadium is and how Champaign, Illinois is a dump.
They got to upgrade. They got to upgrade something over there. I mean, sheesh.
How many Memorial stadiums are there, by the way? Jeepers.
Just the two shitholes, Illinois and Nebraska, dude. Those two.
There's more than that.
There's probably more. Oh, if Purdue didn't play decent the last few years and have a couple big wins over Ohio State and
us,
to be fair, Iowa. Everything about them would say drop them from the Big Ten too.
Dude, honestly, the word Purdue puts me in a bad mood.
Makes me want to throw up. Because Ross-Ade Stadium. Ross-Ade sounds like the budget athletic drink that like Aldi sells.
Yeah.
Get your Ross-Ade.
Yeah.
Or Ross-Ade Zero. I mean, how on earth they got
Rondell Moore?
How on earth they got Rondell Moore to come to that school? They paid the shit out of him. You know, I mean, what? Hindsight 2020, they paid that motherfucker.
Had to have. And that came right out of the head coach's pocket.
Right out of it. There might have been some Rick Pitino stripper action involved in that shit.
He might have been some Jerry Sandusky action in there. We don't know what happens.
All the way back to the beginning of the podcast, Anthony Jeselnik has an awesome Jerry Sandusky joke. Oh, man. We've touched a lot today. And I did not mean that was a bad way to say.
Jerry Sandusky, baby. Yeah,
that didn't come out right. But we have we've touched on a lot in this episode. Wow.
This podcast sucks, but it's awesome at the same
time. I don't know. This was a pretty good episode. I mean, this was pretty entertaining to me.
I think this might be Patreon only, dude, because we can't be giving everybody this content. Then you got to pay for this shit, dude.
Anyone who's still here, the Venmo's Tyler-Kluver, or I don't have a fucking one for the Wash Up Walk-Ons, but you guys all owe us a dollar or 20 burpees or something. You gotta pay. You gotta pay up. This is too good. Man, that's it. That's it. Nashville, picking my wife up. She was in Nashville this weekend on a bachelorette party. And that's going to be your home eventually. So
I'm listing my house August 26th and I'll be in Nashville before Halloween.
Wow.
Kaylee and I are up and out of here, boys. We're hitting the road.
The fact that there's another name.
How crazy is that, right?
Attached to yours. Dude, that scares me.
This woman is a special human being.
Oh, I understand that. I knew that from the moment you said that she existed. Yeah. I'd like to get her on the podcast, maybe ask her a few questions.
I think she
might be confused.
Holy shit, wouldn't that be entertaining?
Oh shit.
That would be a Patreon exclusive. That would be Patreon.
Maybe we take Kevin's idea of the women of Benton. The women of Benton, we get Lauren, Kaylee, Kevin's girl, Mick,
Rachel.
Katie, Rachel.
The head savage, the leader of all savages is Rachel Schlitter Bauer.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. We give them each their own episode and we release it Patreon only, call it the Benton Women series. And fuck, the Wash Up Walk-On Army may grow to thousands in numbers to listen to those episodes.
True to roof.
All right. I'm out.
You better go pick your wife up.
I got to go to the airport and then eat dinner. So that's it. I hope, I need something good to say at the end of this podcast. We need something fucking cool to say at the end of this podcast that's like related to walk-ons. Like, I don't know. Step up.
Fuck yourself, San Diego.
That's taken. That's it. I hope you guys enjoyed this one with Drake and I. At this point, we're probably censored after that one. But it is what it is.
It is what it is.
Talk to you next time, boys. Peace.
I'm MJ Acosta Ruiz.
And I'm Lindsay Zarniak.
And together we'll be hosting the On Her Turf podcast. This summer, On Her Turf is hosting a daily Olympics podcast
that focuses exclusively on women's sports and the amazing women competing in Tokyo.
We'll bring you interviews with Olympians and in-depth analysis on your favorite teams.
Plus, we're going to talk about some of the challenges still facing women's sports today.
So join us daily at On Her Turf as we cover all the excitement of the Tokyo Olympics.
Be sure to check us out on Apple Podcasts and be sure to follow On Her Turf on Twitter and Instagram too.